Okay, we are going to step into hour number two now. And before I do that, I want to play something. I don't know what he was doing, but they got the walking corpse up out of his casket this morning and animated him somehow. And he was able to walk up to the podium after the camel had introduced him as the commander-in-chief. He put his black mask on, walked up to the microphone. Now, I want you to listen to what he said. He is barely verbal now. He is really in the most advanced stage of Alzheimer's, senility, derangement, brain death, whatever it is, mad cow. He doesn't have much time left. They can't keep faking this. The guy cannot speak. He can't even read his teleprompter. And I'm sure what you're about to hear is not on his teleprompter. So take a listen to this. It's short, and I'll try and play it a couple times. The Commander in Chief.
Thank you, Madam Vice President. It's hard to be what you can't see. It's hard to be what you can't see, but you'll soon see.
Now, did you get that? It's hard to be what you can't see, but you'll soon see. All right, here, let's go for this again here. Here. It's hard to be what you can't see, but you'll
soon see. Thank you, Madam Vice President. It's hard to be what you can't see. It's hard to be what you can't see, but you'll soon see.
What do you say? What do you say? Get him to Shady Acres. Put him in a bed, wheel him out in the sunshine for an hour a day, put him back in bed, and stop this fraud. I mean, it's really despicable. And the White House press machine keeps putting out releases saying, Biden did this, Biden did that, Biden's calling for this, Biden nominated. Biden isn't doing anything. This is all Obama and Harris. We know that. This is the Obama-Biden administration. It's Obama 3.0. He's back. I don't think anybody is too surprised by that. But this is just one little look at how really bad things are. There are a number of things we need to talk about now regarding this so-called pandemic and the so-called vaccine, which is now, in my view, clearly a bioweapon. So is the virus. So is the vaccine. It's not a vaccine. It's a weapon. And we saw that yesterday. And I hope many of you have seen the videos I've been putting up and pushing with Gert VandenBosch, who reveals the truth that vaccines are going to end up so compromising your immune system, your natural immune systems, you won't have any. You will not have an immune system. Now, he called it the new immune system propagated by the vaccine, which causes your cells to create the protein that the virus does, allegedly teaching your vaccine how to handle it. That's not gonna work. There's no off switch for it. You'll never stop producing it. And now we find out, the Italians yesterday have found out, that the virus can also go right into apparently any bacteria in your system, most plentifully found in your digestive tract, and invade each bacteria like a cell in your body and set up shop to start producing this protein. If VandenBosch is right, and I believe he's 100% right, his credentials are extraordinary, we are literally looking at the very real potential of many, many people in the very near future not being immunologically competent anymore. Not at all. Del Bigtree took some of the excerpts of VandenBosch, put him in a video, did a good job with that too. It's all up there on the right-hand column. You'll see it. Take a look. Joining us this hour is Erica Kahn. MIT grad, a nanotechnological scientist. She understands a great deal about these things that I never will, and it's great to have her back on the program. Erica, the Italian announcement about bacteria being homes to this viral infection didn't paint a pretty picture. Not for me, and I don't think for you either.
Well, I'm going to reserve judgment on that. To me, it sounds like quite a stretch. I mean, viruses are usually almost always exclusive to a particular host and a particular set of cells within that host. You know, if this thing is infecting, you know, prokaryotic or eukaryotic bacteria, I'd love to know how that's happening. So until I see some peer-reviewed, published mm-hmm. research on it, it's just a newspaper article and fear porn as far as I'm concerned.
I did send it around yesterday. The Italians earlier, and this goes back maybe a couple, 3 months ago, one of them stood up and said, this is a bacteria as well. This is not the first time I've seen this claim. That's one thing that caught my attention. It does go back at least 2 or 3 months, maybe 4, that I first heard it. And I said, oh my God, if it's a bacteria or if it's infecting bacteria, this is going to get to be real bad. And in the sense that this is a bioweapon, I believe, and was created to infest people, why would they stop with human cells? Why not make it adaptable to bacteria of a certain kind? So I don't have your expertise. I can only comment as a layperson. But I would not put it beyond these people to have done such a thing with this, and I believe it to be a manufactured bioweapon, this virus. But anyhow,
I mean, I like I said, until I see an actual study and how it was conducted and how they arrived at these conclusions, I'm going to refrain from speculating.
Good. You're a scientist. That's the way it ought to be done. I'm not, so I can run my mouth a little bit.
Well, I think, too, that, you know, so many people don't really comprehend science or biology on a very deep level.
Oh,
and
my God,
they are being really taken advantage of and just sold a bill of goods to, you know, just strike fear and panic and desperation.
Well,
so that they make bad choices
in
the name of health.
What they're doing is driving
mm-hmm.
people to take more vaccines. They're scaring the hell out of them.
Yeah, this is what's being offered as the solution and the only solution. And, you know, boy, it didn't take long to pretty much get everybody on board with that. Nobody's questioning it. Well, they are, but
I'm sorry to say,
we're not allowed to hear about it.
That's true. And the other side of that coin is most people are afraid to question it. They don't know what to do. And they will not say, yes, the government is capable of doing something harmful. My God, all they have to do is go back and look at things like Tuskegee and the spraying mm-hmm. of biological weapons in the New York subways and spraying the entire perimeter of San Francisco Harbor with more bacteria to see how it would spread. They test things on people all the time. So they've found the virus in sewers. All right, that's been written about, not peer reviewed, but they have
identified. And that would not be unusual. I mean, coronaviruses can infect in portions of the intestinal tract. So that's not that unusual.
Right.
Is it viable virus? I don't know. You know, it's not that stable outside of the body. It's got a lipid membrane on it. It's not that stable.
Right. Well, that lipid membrane is a strange one. And I let me just do a little bit more on this Italian thing for our listeners.
Okay.
And I really appreciate you're a scientist. The translation from Italian, SARS-CoV-2, and I really like that one documentary, and I think you saw it, where the guy referred to it as COVID-AIDS. Because it does definitely, it's applicable to the not just the bacteria, but the human immunological system in its entirety, apparently. Okay, SARS-CoV-2 is also a bacteriophage virus. That means it enters the bacteria and replicates its RNA from there as well as human cells. We finally have the scientific evidence, complete with photos, of the virus colonizing the bacterium. This means that we are following procedures to be integrated. To eradicate it takes more than classic viruses. Not only are closures needed, you need to disinfect and prevent. And now there is a scientific rationale for which antibiotics work. We will also need a vaccine against the toxins that we have found and our bacteria produce, much like the mechanism of diphtheria. Current vaccines will not be enough. In a while, we may have many more variants of the virus, the Lombard, the Venetian, Milan, and Rome variant, etc. Well, a couple things there. One, it interested me to find out that they were talking about the vaccine. Let me back up here. First of all, the message is more vaccines. Okay. We're going to have more vaccines. The other thing is, let me find where they said this. Okay. We also need a vaccine against the toxins that we have found and our bacteria produce. Now, a bacterial infection in many cases, and you, Erica knows all this, but maybe some of you do. It's the actual excretia, the toxic discharge from bacteria that are the most difficult for the human immune system to handle. They're the real toxicity in many cases, not all, but that's what they're talking about here. And that's one of the fear porn ways to justify people being warned that more vaccines are coming. And I think we can count on that. I don't think there's any doubt. They're going to roll out shots every few months you're going to need. I think that's the game. Or they're going to tell you you need them.
Yeah, that's clear that this is, it's all about vaccines. And I think this is right now just a conditioning program to get people accustomed to following orders and getting injected every 3 months, every 6 months, or whenever Bill Gates says so.
And who will know what's in the vaccines or the alleged vaccines that they're giving? My God, they could take us down a road with nanotech that no one will ever know until they start seeing the results and the statistics, the VAER statistics, or the county death certificates. I just don't know. You heard about the boxer.
It's clever because, you know, there's a little bit of a lag time here. You know, if people that don't die immediately within hours of getting the shot, and of course even that's being dismissed as unrelated, but there's quite often a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks before some of these events are happening. And I mean, we don't even know what the, you know, months to years from now, if people survive that long, is going to show. I think these vaccines are a prescription for autoimmune disease as well as cancer. I mean, nobody's talking about the cancer thing. I mean, these things are cytotoxic. These lipid nanoparticles create such toxicity at the cellular level that the cell has no choice but to either commit apoptosis, and if it doesn't commit apoptosis, it will become cancerous. So take your pick.
That goes hand in hand with stories that women who have taken the vaccine are showing up with cancer markers in their blood work weeks later already. It's showing up with cancer markers, breast cancer in specific. Now, that's pretty damn scary. What the hell's causing that? Is that a failure of our immune system to normally deal with cancer? Cancer is common in the human body, and the immune system takes care of it. But is this a suggestion that the immune system is being suppressed or outperformed, as they say in the video, and it is no longer dealing with cancer like it should, and therefore cancer is breaking out, breast cancer specifically? What are the angles here that we have to look at? And there are many of them. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I think at the very least, I mean, these things are, they dysregulate the entire immune system temporarily, and I don't know for what period of time, maybe forever. It could be forever changed.
Some are saying that.
In which case, you're at risk of either having your body turn against itself. It can't distinguish foreign antigens from self antigens, or it can't identify cells that are compromised and about to turn cancerous, and so they don't get eliminated, and you've got disseminated cancer.
Okay.
None of it's good.
Well,
the other aspect of you know, these synthetic nucleic acids that they are injecting in you to code for the spike protein, well, what happens to them? I mean, they're synthetic. They don't really break down, or they don't break
Where
down
do they
in the
go?
Way that they should. So typically, a cell recycles components that are, you know, burnt out, and then it rebuilds it. So if you've got these synthetic nucleic acids in there, well, what are those proteins going to look like? Are they going to be in the right shape?
Are they dual purpose?
You know, shape is everything.
Could this be a piggyback?
Molecular level. What's
that? Could this be a piggyback, a dual purpose nucleic acid? Have they thought it out that far? They might have. I think
we're just in the beginning stages of this great experiment. I mean, they need data, and they're going to look at the data and see, you know, how to tweak it. But right now, you know, there's, according to them, too many people on the planet. We can spare a few, see this thing play out, and then we'll refine the technology as we go.
The losses through the analysis of the Deagle.com projections are close to $1 billion, I think, something like that. So
yeah,
that would be a significant step in reducing the world population. This would be the first round. What they're going to do, if we can be, just, I'm not asking you as a scientist, but for me, the first effort would be to take down Western culture, white Western Christian countries. They are the ones with the Deagle projections that are going to take the big hit by 2025. Now, after that is phase two, the takedown of the so-called second and third world? Maybe. We don't know. We don't even know if the Deagle projections are anything more than fluff. We don't know. But now we have a mechanism by which we can explain how those statistics that Deagle projected could happen within the time frame of his project. And he put the whole site together for a reason. Now, Marvin Hagler is the latest to, and I don't know if you saw this, you certainly saw the story about the boxer, one of the greats, died. What they're saying now is that Marvelous Marvin Hagler took the shot and died within minutes.
Mm.
And they kept saying he was in ICU for 2 weeks because they couldn't take that kind of a hit to the public relations aspect of the vaccine campaign. So they kind of hushed it up. Now his wife is saying, it had nothing to do with it. She didn't mention any cause of death at all. She just said it had nothing to do with it. How the hell does she know? Does she look in her bank account and see another couple million in there? That might make up her mind real quick. Nothing to do with it. Don't worry, keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
Marvelous Marvin just died. He just died. Just, it happens. No, it doesn't happen. Larry King died. Right? Hank Aaron
died. These reports are coming in, you know, like a wave right now.
That's right.
I mean, you go into any of these social media groups, and there are many now that just share information, and it's just, you know, it's not even shocking anymore because it's become so common. Oh, there's another one.
Did you like the Joe Biden quote? I mean,
remind
really,
me. There's been
much,
many.
How much? Well, the one I played at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. What was he saying? Does anyone
who
know?
Who knows? Who the hell knows? He was simply pronouncing words that may or may not have some relation to the teleprompter. I don't know. The guy is clearly mentally deficient. He shouldn't be there. Well, he's not there. He doesn't live in the White House. He lives. They animate him in the morning. They shoot him up with this and that. He's got some nano in him, I'm sure. And then they take him home and put him back in his coffin and close the lid, and they wake him up in the morning. That's what
I mean,
they're doing.
If people can't see that this is a charade, you know, you've really
them.
Got rocks in your head.
Yeah. Okay, now, Gert Vandenbosch Tell our listeners if you remember his credentials. Do you remember his credentials at all? Gavi and the Gates Foundation. We should mention that a little bit.
Sure.
And then talk about that when we come back. Hold
okay.
on, and we'll continue in just a couple minutes. Okay, welcome back. As far as Gert VandenBosch is concerned, Dr. Philip McMillan interviews him. You can find this video right there on the right side in the featured stories section. And I'm going to let Erica, let Dr. McMillan just do a little intro on this, and then we'll talk more about it. It's fascinating to find somebody who has been for, I guess, most of his professional scientific life, a pro-vaxxer. He created at least one prototype of the Ebola vaccine. He's not an anti-vaxxer at all. And he stuck his head, neck, and shoulders out on this. And I was stunned when I saw it. Here's a little background on Gert VandenBosch, who he is. And when you hear Gavi, you understand that he's worked for the best, the top. And then he talks about working for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Here we go.
Hello and good evening to everyone. Well, afternoon, depending on where you are in the world. Today we have a really, really important topic. And I have the pleasure of having with me Gert VandenBosch from Belgium. The difference is that Gert is truly an international vaccine developer, and he's here to share some very important and unique perspectives on where we are now in terms of the COVID pandemic. So, pleasure to have you here with me, Gert. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for having me, Philip.
Wonderful, wonderful. Listen, I mean, I think the first thing that we have to clarify is that we have to explain you are someone who is in the vaccine development business, so to speak. What has that background been like?
Well, I have a background essentially in, as far as vaccines are concerned, in industry as well as in the non-for-profit sector. So I have been working with Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Gavi, especially concentrating on vaccines for global health. Mm-hmm. And I've also been working with several different companies, vaccine companies, developing, of course, essentially prophylactic vaccines. And my main focus of interest has always been, in fact, the design of vaccines. So the concept, how can we educate the immune system in ways that are to some extent more efficient than we do right now with our conventional vaccines.
Right. And so in effect, this is the area of work you've been in. You develop vaccines. You are as well working with the Ebola vaccine as well, one of the really, really dangerous viruses we have out there in the world. How does that work? Is that easy to do?
Well, I was not, let me be very clear, I was...
Okay, that's enough. You get the idea. But the video is up there, and you can listen to the whole thing. Erica, go ahead.
Well, this is another thing. I'm not ready to, I guess, offer an opinion on this guy. I mean, He's got a legacy with, you know, some very nefarious individuals, not the least of which is, you know, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and Gavi, which is a Gates-funded organization. And he spent his career designing and promoting vaccines. And my gut instinct is he's, you know, still pushing the COVID narrative, you know, that we need a vaccine, but just not this one. He says we need a natural killer cell vaccines. and he's still promoting the fear about these variants. I'm suspicious of his motives. The fact that he came out of nowhere, I'm just suspicious. I think this might be a little bit of a conciliatory gesture on the part of, the people.
It would not surprise you if the elite players of this whole worldwide scenario aren't pushing this guy out there. Is that what you're saying?
That's what that's my uh-huh. instinct right now. Yes, I think he's just another distraction. That they're going to shift gears. They're getting ready to shift gears in some fashion. I mean, he doesn't even mention the extraordinarily high rate of adverse events that's occurring with these vaccines. All of them. All that have been approved. Every single one of them. And he doesn't mention it. All he's concerned about is these variants. So I'm very suspicious.
Okay. Always good.
And I'm going to reserve judgment until I see more.
Yep. I've been watching so far. No one has picked him apart, not to this point.
Okay.
If he is, let's just take, we can advocate on either side, but let's just suggest that he's correct, and he really mm-hmm. is very concerned about the world, and he doesn't think the vaccine makers, the companies, AstraZeneca, Pfizer, Moderna, maybe even Sputnik V, I don't know. But he's saying they missed the big picture. They missed it. They were in such a rush. I don't think they were in a rush because they planned these things for years. But he said they missed putting the puzzle together. He says, I'm paraphrasing, that he's seen it for what it is. And what it is, it'll go in and it will, quote, outperform, as you saw him say, our natural immune system and push it into the background. Now, this was picked up by Del Bigtree and his video analysis of it as well. And he's saying, Vandenbosch, that we may end up with no functional, vile, some people think this whole thing is vile, this vaccine thing, but no functional, normal immunological system. I don't know. If that happens, if he's right, we're in big trouble. If he's right, if this goes in and it is so strong that it creates antibodies that dominate our natural broad-spectrum, non-specific approach to attacking foreigners in our system to get out of control or get in through one means or another, that's our vaccine that we were born with, so to speak. That's our immune system. He's saying the possibility, and in fact, in his view, the probability is this vaccine-induced antibody is going to become utterly dominant over our own immune system. And that's bad. That's what he's saying.
I think, it's the antibodies are going to persist as long as the threat is there, which, in the case of these mRNA vaccines, where the mRNA doesn't break down and programs the cell to keep producing a spike protein, then, you're going to be making antibodies for as long as that protein is being coded. And then, the spike protein is also associated, the epitopes in that spike protein are homologous, meaning virtually identical to protein sequences in human tissues throughout the body. So if that stimulus is constantly there, then, you're developing an autoimmune disease as well. And that will just exhaust the immune system. You won't be prepared to fight anything else. So you have very little flexibility in terms of your ability to respond to other pathogens. And that seems to be why a lot of people are getting sick immediately after getting these vaccines. I mean, they've got all the symptoms of so-called COVID, whether it's COVID or something else, I don't know. They're not known for doing their differential diagnosis, so it could be anything. But that's a sign of, your T cells are compromised. They're busy trying to deal with this foreign invader. In this case, it's lipid nanoparticles with synthetic mRNA. So, of course, you're going to be compromised. And you'll be compromised, for as long as that's going on, until the body rids itself of it. And then maybe, just maybe, it can restore equilibrium. but then, you know, that'll be time for your booster shot or your variant shot. I mean, this is crazy.
The word is that they're saying now that this virus mutates like crazy. Well, that to me is not a surprise. And I edited one of the first books on AIDS, HIV, AIDS, in 1989, 1990. And one of the problems with the AIDS virus, HIV, was that it mutated so radically and wildly that it wasn't stable enough to be always of a mortal threat. It would mutate into more benign forms. So the concept, I think the mutating potential, Erica, if I remember it from my book, was 5,000 to the fourth power. It was crazy. That's how wildly it could mutate.
They do mutate. I mean, some are more prone to it than others, like the influenza virus, because its genetic material is segmented. It can exchange its genetic material with other strains, and so then you do get these really weird, you know, sometimes highly pathogenic or virulent strains, because the antigen, you know, changes its shape or sequence so radically that the immune system doesn't recognize it anymore. You know, coronaviruses really are not known to do that unless they have some kind of help.
Right. Now, there is apparently HIV DNA that has been found in this virus, the coronavirus that we're talking about.
Yep.
How did that get there?
It's likely that it came from the laboratory, that it was grown in a culture, probably monkey kidney cells, which are commonly used, that was contaminated with these.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they're contaminated with animal viruses. So it likely came from there. I don't, you know, when you look at the virus and what those proteins are responsible for, you know, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to deliberately put them in there. So I think that they were accidentally, you know, is when this stuff was being grown
in
the lab.
Just like the SV40 was put into the polio vaccine accidentally.
It's a contaminant.
I get that. That killed tens of millions of Americans, by the way. Kidney and brain cancer primarily from the salt polio. I got the salt polio. I had.
Well, that virus is now well established in the human population thanks to that vaccine campaign.
Right.
I mean, it's here.
Right. It is responsible
for a lot of cancers.
Oh, God, yes. Well, I'm very concerned about this. It's too early to call it a wave. It's too early to call it a definite solid trend. But if women who are cancer-free all of a sudden are showing up with breast cancer markers weeks after getting either the first and or the second vaccine shot, that's a very big concern for me. Cancer. One out of two people get cancer now. We don't need any more. Pretty soon it'll be one out of one. And when I say get cancer, everybody already has cancer, but it's controlled by our immune system. But if it's not going to be able to be controlled by our immune system, that means we're all going to get cancer that will eventually kill us.
Yeah, I think that's in the cards. And when you understand the toxicity associated with these lipid nanoparticles and the fact that they can persist in a cell for 4 to 5 months, all the while doing damage. I mean, DNA, double strand break damage. I mean, those are the hardest types of repair, hardest types of damage to repair. I mean, it's like ionizing radiation. It's. And they know this. They've known this for 20 years. I mean, and that's why these things are very good cancer delivery agents, because they want them to be cytotoxic, but they can target cancer cells, whereas this is indiscriminate. They put these lipid nanoparticles in your body, and they go wherever the blood goes. So wherever they end up, and they have ended up in the brain. They end up in the endothelium, which is the lining of your blood vessels. They end up in the liver. A lot of them end up in the liver.
Right.
But also in the reproductive organs, the testes and the ovaries.
Well, this is not good, and we've had dozens of women now spontaneously abort or suffer stillbirth after getting the kill shots.
Yeah, because they develop these coagulation problems that, I mean, that's the other thing with lipids that are injected into the bloodstream like this. I mean, you might remember, some people might remember the anthrax vaccine that used squalene as an adjuvant.
Sure.
And a lot of the Gulf War veterans, after coming back, suffered from Gulf War syndrome, and they thought, well, you know, it was all the petrochemicals and toxins, nerve gas that they were exposed to. But a lot of people did some digging, and they realized, well, actually, it might have been the squalene in these anthrax vaccines, because squalene, as an adjuvant, when it's injected, not when you put it on your skin, it's actually a very nice emollient topically, but when you inject it, it causes autoimmune disease. It's called antiphospholipid syndrome. And so phospholipids make up your cell membranes. So your body is conditioned or sensitized and starts attacking anything with a phospholipid membrane.
Not good. That's good.
So are we doing the same thing with these lipid nanoparticles? Quite possibly.
Somebody knew this. Somebody knew about all this. This didn't just happen. And as far as Dr. Van den Bosch is concerned, he connected the dots. He's the one to present it. But I just don't believe these people were so stupid that they missed anything. I think they knew exactly what they were doing years ago.
They had to have.
Right. Right.
Any molecular biologist worth their salt would... I mean, this is not... This is 20 years of just common research. It's published.
Right.
It's not hidden.
Right. Right. Did you happen to see the video of that registered nurse who took the swab, the test apart, and made video of it? And there were, we'll call
all
them
these animated fibers moving around.
Yeah. Those are Morgellons fibers. And that was from 15, 16 years ago when I used to cover that story. We had video of them back then. What have they done in 15 years in nanotech research with that kind of a thing? It does look like if they're in the swab tips, they're being implanted in people. There's no other way to look at it. Yeah. So what are they going to do? We don't know. We don't know. All right. Here's just a drop more from Van den Bosch. I just want to hear a little bit. Hang on.
You mentioned this in your paper. It is equivalent to using either a partial dose of antibiotics in an antimicrobial or in a bacterial infection, where you then produce superbugs. Is this the kind of example that you're alluding to?
Well, that is a very good parallel. It's also the parallel I'm using, actually, in the paper we just posted on LinkedIn, which, you know, should be so open for everybody. I mean, it's pure science. Because, as you were pointing out, Philip, the thing is, the rule is, it's very simple. I mean, same with antibiotics. Either the antibiotics do not match very well with the bug. That's not good. That's why we are making antibiograms, you know, to first identify which is this germ, and then we choose the antibiotics. We need to have a very good match, otherwise there could be resistance. So when I compare this to the current situation, do we have a good match with our antibodies? No. At this point in time, we don't have a good match anymore, because we have this kind of like almost heterologous variants, so that differs from the original strain. So the match isn't very good anymore. And hence we see people are still protected, but they are already shedding the virus. So that is one thing. The other thing is the quantity, of course. You tell people, you know, you take your antibiotics according to the prescription. Please don't, as soon as you feel well, that doesn't mean that you can stop the antibiotics. Same here. And I give just one example. If you now give people just like one dose, I mean, they are in the process of mounting their antibodies. The antibodies still need to fully mature, etc. So this is a suboptimal situation. We are putting them in a suboptimal situation with regard to their immune protection. And on the other hand, they are in the midst of the war. They are fully attacked by all, you know, by all these kinds of highly infectious variants.
Okay. They're attacked by all these different kinds of highly infectious variants, viral variants that are coming off this coronavirus. That's what he's saying at this point. There's a lot more to this. You can see the whole video. Okay, we have about 3-4 minutes left. How do you want to wrap this up? This has been very helpful.
Well, I guess just stay tuned. I
we need more time. It's correct.
And yeah, and now we're dealing with
yeah.
You know, the latest vaccine that was just approved, the Johnson & Johnson, which has a different type of delivery system, but it's proving to be every bit as, you know, bad in terms of adverse events and
injuries.
Yeah, serious injuries. I mean, did you know the AstraZeneca one has now been banned in 20 countries?
It's clotting people to death. They're throwing clots.
Yeah.
Right.
Or just, you know, systemic organ failure. Just this highly, highly inflammatory immune response that basically kills the person.
We have admittedly now over 40,000 injuries in the U.S. That's the admitted number by the CDC. It could be double or triple that. We don't know. There have been over 100 million people vaccinated now here. So we don't know. I keep seeing stories every day of, what was it, a whole school district, a school with full of teachers. They all got their shots, and none of them reported to work Monday. They were all sick.
Yeah, that's
common. It's not the way it's supposed to work, though. I mean, I know it's common, but it's a trial. There's still 2 more years to go in the phase 3 trial of these things. So everybody volunteering as a guinea pig.
If this was a normal phase 3 trial, you know, these types of adverse events would demand that the trial be halted.
Yeah.
And, you know, each and every one of these cases reviewed.
Absolutely. Every one of them. Nope.
Full speed ahead.
That should make people ask questions. Lots and lots of questions. But I mean, I guess they're being asked, but they're falling on deaf ears. No one cares. The government is completely out of control on this. They're exercising no common sense that I can see. Do you see any? Not in terms of the statistics.
They are actively promoting this vaccine. They are telling people that it's been rigorously tested and, you know, met with FDA approval, and
lies.
You should take this.
Lies. Lies. Emergency approval
blatant
is not
lies.
Approval. It's not formal approval at all. Fauci continues to do his thing. He asked Trump to help him get people to take this kill shot. And Trump did. Today he urged all of his people to take this great vaccine. That makes him an absolute accomplice to this.
Yes.
In my view. Either that or he's dumber than a box of rocks, which he's not. He knows. He reads. He understands.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's a party to it. This shouldn't surprise any of you. He's been a party to the whole game for a long time.
Yep.
This is not a good thing. We're going to see then more deaths, many more injuries that we're not being told about. And we don't know, Erica, I guess, if these injuries are all recoverable injuries. We don't know.
No,
some of them aren't.
Time will tell. But I tell you, if these lipid nanoparticles are causing this degree of cellular, you know, death, apoptosis, you know, for the entire time they're in there, 4 to 5 months, and these double-strand breaks and the DNA can't be repaired, I mean, there's going to be an explosion of cancer.
And other things. Clots,
and other things.
Too. We're going to see that. All right, we have another minute or so. I can run a little late. This is a total guess, and scientists don't like to guess, but what would it be I think he had the Moderna. I don't remember. One or the other. Pfizer, Moderna. What could have killed Marvin Hagler so quickly? What it killed the 70-year-old woman in Southern California who didn't make it 15 minutes and she fell over dead? What is it that's killing these people so quickly? Potentially.
That's probably most likely an anaphylactic shock reaction, probably to the PEG, the polyethylene glycol, in these lipid nanoparticles.
So it's a definite compound in the lipid nanoparticles. That's where they're putting the PEG.
Yes. Because you've got to find a way to make it soluble. You know, a lipid would not be soluble in water, so it's got to be soluble. And it also hides it from the immune system. So it's allowed to travel around the body.
It's invisible.
It can't get into the cell, or it won't get degraded before it has a chance to get into the cells.
Erica,
and they know that
question.
Too. I mean, 70% of the population has developed antibodies against PEG because it's in so many different products. It's in a lot of food, supplements, and cosmetics. So when you go to inject that, oh boy, that person's allergic, you can pretty much guarantee.
That's insane. Putting that in, the mRNA, lipid covered, this is nanotechnology. There's so much more at work here. When I saw those fibers in the swab tips, I knew that they're doing. They're putting nano dust in there. They could put anything. Last question for you. It's kind of a philosophical one. At this point in time, how evil is this whole vaccine program in your non-scientific view?
It's evil, through and through. No doubt in my mind. Nobody could allow this to happen unless there was some agenda.
No one should be taking
this. And it's not humanitarian.
No, no. Thank you for being here again, Eric. I appreciate it. You take care.
Sure, my pleasure.
We'll talk soon. Okay.
Okay.
Right. Erica Kahn, MIT nanotechnology scientist. It's evil. Okay? You got it. We'll be right back with more.